Praise God. Father, in Jesus' name, my heart, Lord, you know my heart, is to permeate us with the understanding of who we are in Jesus. Because everything else flows from this. Everything. If we don't get this, we're going to struggle. So I'm asking you, Lord, in this time, that you would continue to help us to get it. I mean, really get it. Beyond the mental or the knowledge aspect. But Lord, so that we're so engrafted with the truth that not only does the junk fall off, but that we begin to see things in a whole different way, the way you see them. In Jesus' name, amen. The title of this series has been and still is, Choose It or Lose It. Choose It or Lose It. The scripture that is the basis for this today is Matthew chapter 10, verse 39. Don't turn there right now for sake of time. Jesus said to his disciples, "He who finds his life will lose it. And he who loses his life for my sake will find it." And I've gone through the breakdown in the Greek on this, but let me just give you the paraphrase. If you live in this continuity or this continuum of your identity that really isn't yours anymore, if you continue to live in this, then you are living a lower life and in a lesser identity than what God has given to you. You are choosing to live less and lower than the higher life and the higher identity that Jesus died, was buried, and rose, and has already given to us. We choose it. So if you choose to live in a lesser identity than what you have, actually, as a born-again believer. Now, the qualifier is this, that we must be born again. You don't even have to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Helps a lot. But you have to be born again. You choose, and every one of us does this consciously, we choose to live in a lesser identity than what he bought and paid for. And what happens is, choosing to live in that lesser identity destroys us. It hurts us. It takes from us. When we choose to live in the higher identity or this higher life, and it is our identity in him, then what we do is, the scripture says we find it. We obtain everything. We gain everything that he's given us. Does it make sense? You understand what I'm saying? Should I cover it again? Yes or no? I need your help here. Are we clear? I don't know. We could do, in India, when they don't really know how to answer, they do this. They don't do or They do this. It's really kind of funny. It's really not an answer. So, can you all tell me? Because you need this. This is fundamental to this, not just this series, but to our lives. Does it make sense? If you choose the lower life, it destroys us. If you choose the lower, lesser identity, it destroys us. If you choose the higher, wow, everything becomes available to us. Okay? Okay. That's what Jesus was saying to his disciples. The way that the Lord designed our identity is the first. This is what Adam and Eve had before they threw it away. He wants us to have that identity that they had. This is restored to us through Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. But we don't choose it. We get born again, and then we don't really know how to live in it. And this is the main point of this series, is learn how to live in this reality of this identity. Now we have this, our identity is kind of it's opaque. It's kind of mystical and mysterious, and we know we're new creations in Jesus Christ, right? 2 Corinthians 5:17. Old things have passed away and all things have become new, right? Okay, if you've been here any length of time, you've heard that a number of times. But what does that really look like? And that's, we can know the mental aspect, but we don't really have a picture. Our imaginations are supposed to be coupled in here so that we get a picture, because we're all visual learners, and this is what imprints to our heart. We're supposed to get a picture of what our real identity is, because when we begin to hold fast, when that begins to build and we begin to hold fast to that, then everything begins to change in our lives, because everything in our lives begins to run through that identity instead of that old one. And it gets, our lives get built and our quality of life goes way up. And the things that come against us, or how we deal with things, or how we've lived before, or things like those, they change and they drop off. Instead of those things, those lesser things destroying us, we destroy them. And we live above. Because we were made, in Deuteronomy 28, we were made to live above and not beneath. We were made to be the head and not the tail. But we don't choose it. If you don't choose it, you lose it. Or you settle for less. Okay. Would you please turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And before we go there, I want to present to you this understanding that will help in this, and that's the book of Ruth. A little four chapter book in the first covenant about a woman who was a Moabite married to an Israelite, who through extenuating circumstances, they left Israel, they went to a different country, the husbands died of Naomi and her two sons, and Naomi was left with her two daughters-in-law. And what happened was, Naomi was going to go back to Israel, where there was a surplus, where there was provision, where the covenant was taking place, so on. And one daughter-in-law left and went back to her people. And Ruth, this is a type of Christian, I want you to see this. Ruth said in chapter 1, and we sing this as a song sometimes, wherever you go, I will go and stay. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. Where you die, I'll die. I'm committed. Ruth, in effect, made a choice to change her identity from a Moabite. A Moabite was not part of Israel. A Moabite was excluded from the covenant. A Moabite was not privy to the privileges of Israel and all that came with the covenant. And Ruth, if this is what she essentially said, I am choosing to destroy my old life, and I am choosing to gain my new higher life, and I'm committing to this, I'm making this choice. And she cut everything off, her family, her culture, her race. She left, and she went with Naomi to Israel. Now, long story short, all of the provision and the goodness and the blessing, and there was so much more that God gives through his covenant, she came into by this choice, far bigger, far greater than she could have ever dreamed. She made a choice to lose her old life and destroy that, and committed to move into a higher life. That's what we do as born-again Christians. This is what the change is for us when we get born again and we destroy our old life, but we really don't destroy it. We don't purpose to. We don't choose to. We kind of carry it with us sometimes, or we carry parts and pieces with us instead of saying, I'm going to destroy every part of it, and that's up to us. And I'm going to choose to live in this higher life, this higher identity that carries everything from God, all the promises and all the provision for us. Okay? Amen. Okay, that's what happened with Ruth. Now, a lot of what happens in the Word, and I will tell you so that you begin to understand, when you see and you read and you study and you're looking through the Word, much of the Word, Old Testament, Gospels, and in the letters, has to do with an abrupt change of identity. Much of it. Because everything flows out of what we believe or who we believe who we are. Do you know? And I'm going to say this. We carry the identity of Jesus Christ. That's who we are. Now, we're not God, but we carry his identity. Because our lives are hidden in him, correct? Okay, we've been through this. But we don't have a picture of that for us. And so when we run into problems, say a sickness tries to come, or some type of lack, or some circumstance that would normally cause us to wig out in some particular way, rather than seeing it through Jesus as who we are and who we're in, we see it through us most of the time, because who we are is not cemented in us. So the title of today's message is called Redefining You. Redefining You. Listen, I'm going through it too. I'm right here with you, okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I'm going to start with verse 9, and I want you to know that 1 Corinthians chapters 5, 6, and 7, and 8 have to do predominantly with identity, okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. Do you not know, he's speaking to believers, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? That is a fact. And just so we don't get confused here, the unrighteous are those who have not accepted, but rather rejected Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. All right, that's just that simple. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, or idolaters, or adulterers, or homosexuals, or sodomites, or thieves, or covetous, or drunkards, or revilers, or extortioners, whew, will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. I've been there. A lot of those. But you were washed, and you were sanctified, and you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of our God. What Paul is saying here is every one of those is an identity. Everyone. The label in there for those is an identity that people live in, believe, operate in. And this is not an exhaustive list, all right? But it's up front. It's in our face. Because many of us have been there. Now, don't get me wrong. We all blow it. We still sin. And that was a good spot for an amen. Let's be real, okay? Does that mean if we sin in a particular area that's named right here that we're not born again? No. Paul is speaking to the unrighteous that have not accepted, won't accept, or have rejected Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Doesn't mean that there aren't times we don't mess up. Sin does not have degrees or degrees of good, bad. If you think like that, take that off your list, okay? Sin is sin. Whether I stood up here, if I stood up here and I told you a lie, but it was just a really little thing. Really little. It wouldn't matter. It'd be as bad as adultery. Amen. In the understanding of righteousness. Okay? Same thing. It's all the same. All right. So Paul has given this list of identities, and then he says, but you, verse 11, such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified and set apart, and you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Now, those are all identities. Would you turn with me to Galatians, please? Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. It's going to be real quick. I'm going to do a little scripture flipping here in order to cement this. Galatians chapter 5. And just this one scripture, verse 16. Galatians 5:16, Paul says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now please understand what I just read in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Those were identities. They're identities. They're things people believe that they are, not just what they do. If you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If you walk in the identity that came by grace through faith to you, this identity of Jesus Christ, when you look in the mirror and you see Jesus instead of you, you're beginning to get it. When we do this, we will walk in the Spirit and we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. This is what happens. This is the beginning of the changes. This is the beginning of redefining us. What flows out of those identities that were listed in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 are things like verse 19, chapter 5, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousy, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions or divisions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and depression, and fear, and judgment, and condemnation, and self-loathing. All of those are what I call flesh fruit. And flesh fruit comes from the old identity. That's what comes through it. This is why we struggle with receiving from God the goodness of God, the grace of God, and all that comes with this grace. This is why we struggle, because we're still packing along with us this old part of us we haven't destroyed. And those are the things that come from it. And like I said, this is not an exhaustive list. But the fruit of the Spirit, verse 22, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control, which come from that higher identity that we choose. And we have to choose it. You can accept it, say, yeah, I accept it. But no, you have to choose it. Because with that choice comes an action. It's not just choosing and saying, okay. It's actually putting some effort to it. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4, please. Ephesians chapter 4. Paul speaking to the church. Ephesians 4, verses 20 through 24. I'm just going to read it through. To us, in our identity, you have not so learned Christ. if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct or the flesh fruit, the old, lower, lesser identity which grows corrupt and brings destruction according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. The spirit of your mind in the Greek means in the way that we think and our attitude toward what God says. Okay? Our attitude plays a big part in this, but the way that we think. Now, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, the higher identity, the higher life. You put it on. It's your choice to put it on. It's your choice to destroy the old and obliterate the old and kill the old and continue to stomp the old, crush the old, even when the old is comfortable, and put on the new. Really put on the new. And it's how you picture your new identity. Your new identity is not some opaque, mystical, mysterious thing. It's very real and very tangible. And it works. And it produces those good fruits that come from the Spirit. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. That's us. And when I say choose it, Matthew 11:12 says the kingdom of God suffers violence and the violent take it by force. And it's a difficult translation from the Greek, but in essence it says everything God's promised you, you got to take it, choose it, get it, go after it. You don't settle for it. You do everything you can to gain it. That's how we have to choose our new identity. That's how we enter in, because it is by force that we leave that old, lesser life identity behind. Colossians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. This is easy peasy stuff. Colossians 2, 9 and 10. For in him dwells, in him Jesus, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Get the picture? When you see Jesus, you picture Jesus, dwells all the fullness of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit bodily. I want you to see this in your minds, in your imagination. God packed full into Jesus. That was his identity here on earth as the Son of Man. Remember, he emptied himself of all things God and became a man for us. Show us that we could do this. We can do this. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you, and you, and you, and you, and you, and you, and me are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. To be complete in him means to be so filled up in completeness that there's not any room left for anything else. In the Greek, that's literally what this means. Okay? Jesus completes us. Jesus makes us whole in our identity. I'm speaking about our identity. We are incomplete without him. We are not whole without him. Without choosing to complete, let him complete our identity in him, we are still not complete. Not based on him, but based on us. And so if we're not complete in him by our choices, we're not destroying that lesser life, that lesser identity, that lower life If we're not doing that, then we are, in essence, saying, I'm looking for a way to complete myself. I know you've done this, but I'm also looking for a way to complete myself. It means you really haven't done it all. See, we're made to be complete. We're created like this. There is something in us that which the Lord put in us to have an identity that is above. That's where we were made to be. And when we try to complete ourselves rather than being complete in Him, we're failures. And we're destroying our lives. We're allowing destruction and we're destroying our lives. And it is by our choosing. That's why if you don't choose that higher life, you lose out. All of us do. We cannot complete ourselves. Amen. Period. We strive to. We're looking for ways to. The only way that we can complete ourselves is our life being hidden in Him. Because in Him we are complete. And that's it. There was an article I was reading about a doctor in the UK. When I say UK, everybody know I mean England? Okay. And everything's socialized over there, so he works for the government. And he was a Christian, or is a Christian. He's a believer. He's born again. Loves Jesus. Giving his heart and his life to Him. So he's at work, and he's a government worker. He's at work, and he had a 6-foot-tall, bearded man come in to his office in a dress and insisted to be referred to as her. And he wouldn't do that because it was a lie. Identity confusion is not always as with this bearded man who wanted to be referred to as her. It's not always as obvious as this, but it is prevalent in the church. It is prevalent all around us, of course. But when we get born again, we come out of that. Amen. That confusion, if we begin to get the picture of who we are for real. So, racial issues, cultural issues, family issues that form our identities, issues of health or ill health, issues of lack, issues of depression, issues of, again, self-loathing and valuelessness and insecurity and fear, issues with circumstances that we face. You know, one of the things that was a troubler for me until God changed my identity was anger. Always want to fight and argue. Always. That was a part of my identity. And the outflow was not good. If we choose to live less than complete in Jesus, and we do not pursue by force this picture of who He is and who we are in Him, and get this into our hearts, we're still going to keep trying to complete ourselves, and it will never be successful. And we'll never see the fruit that comes from a completed identity in Jesus that He's always intended for us to have. That's the trouble. We pray for people all the time, and we minister to people all the time in all kinds of areas, and we see lots of supernatural breakthrough. That is normal Christianity. We understand our authority. We understand, and I'm just saying generally in our church, we understand our authority. We understand the word. We understand the grace of God. We understand faith. But what we don't understand thoroughly yet is who we are in Him, because we don't have that picture. That's what we need, because that's what we operate out of. The more we do, the more we get it, the more we see it, the more we begin to believe it, the more things, those lesser life fruit and identities begin to drop off. And we begin to pray for people or minister to people or talk to people or just live this life. And we see victory after victory after victory after victory because of Jesus. Jesus never suffered from self-hatred. Do you realize that? He never was depressed. Can you see Jesus being depressed, moping? Can you see Jesus sick? Can you see Jesus not feeling loved? Can you see, should I go on? Can you see Jesus as a drunkard? Can you see Jesus as a drug addict? Can you see Jesus, I mean, all those are identities that he did not have because he knew who he was. That's the identity we carry on this earth, is in him. It's in him. It's in him. Personally, and I've taught this, I've taught our identity in Christ for years. But I want to tell you something, that the revelation to me gets bigger and more powerful. I think when I first started to study again on our identity, I got this. You know, Lord, why are you taking me here? I understand this. Oh, I got zapped. And it gets deeper and deeper and deeper, and I get more successful and I get more clear, and I get, you know, it's easier to live in health and prosperously and working with people. I'm not perfect either, but it gets easier and it gets better. And things are still falling off my life and changing because I'm seeing life through Jesus, because that's where I'm complete. And I'm destroying the old when I recognize it. I don't want to live less. I want to live higher. Okay? So, redefining us. Jesus is the picture ID of who we are. You know, every place we go, a lot of times we have to have a picture ID, right? You gotta have a picture ID. Unless you're illegal. I grew up in Spanish culture, so I can say this, all right? My parents in the Lord are very, very Mexican. So, unless you're illegal, you got a picture ID, right? Okay. Well, the picture ID of who we are is Jesus. When you pull out your wallet, it's Jesus on there. And you're starting to see life through him because you're completed in him. And everything that he is, you are on this earth. 1 John 4:17, as he is, so are we in this world. Jesus is the picture ID of how we can be and how we can live. We have to choose it. It's the higher life. We will always, always, always fall short of that higher life if we define ourselves by our lower, lesser identity. Always. We will always struggle. That's why it's so important that we forcefully take on this new identity in him. Our identity in Jesus is how God defines us. It is how he sees us. It is not how we define us through faulty reasoning. Period. It's only how he defines us and how he sees us. His desire is for us to see everything in our lives as we already are now through Jesus. That's it. If you choose to live in this higher identity, you're going to choose a higher quality of life. Period. Remember also, what you feed will grow. What you starve will die. You feed your identity in Jesus with the truth and the reality of the Word and this picture ID that you have of Him through the Gospels. It's the greatest picture. That's who you're operating in. That's who you're complete in. That's who, when you go out, you're seeing through. Jesus. That's your identity. If you do that, you're feeding the real you, and you're killing the part that you've defined or somebody has defined for you from that moment on. So how do you do this? How do you redefine you? Number one, we have to know Him. We've got to get in the Word and get to know Jesus. You can't live in somebody, have your life stuffed into somebody, to be complete in somebody without knowing them. Can you say, it's impossible? You can say it, right? It's impossible. Say it with me. It's impossible. It is impossible. We've got to know Him. That is why it is so important that we are in the Word. Amen. That we get to know Jesus. Ephesians 1:17 says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. And this knowledge is such an intimate, close, I mean, we're talking close quarters here. That kind of knowledge. That's what He wants us to have. This is the beginning of redefining us. Number two, we have to consciously choose our new identity. We have to consciously choose something, again, means that we know what we're doing. When we accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we know what we're doing. We're making a conscious decision to receive, to accept His death, burial, and resurrection, the meaning of it, the forgiveness of our sins, being made righteous. And all that comes with the grace of God to us. We're making a conscious choice to do this. It's the same thing with choosing the higher identity in Jesus. We make a conscious choice to do it. Number three, we have to make a conscious choice to destroy when we see the flesh fruit come up. We're recognizing, you know, you ever seen these flags when you wave signal flags and stuff? You ever seen that on, well, I like old war movies, so. You ever seen these on old war movies and stuff? You're getting a signal flag. Welcome to the club. You're getting a signal flag that says there's some flesh fruit, some remnants of old identity. There it is. Now you have a choice to destroy it or let it be. We have to make a conscious choice to destroy it, refuse it, starve it, not accept it. It doesn't belong in our life. Okay? Number four, we've got to get a picture. If you have a hard time imagining what it's like to live in Jesus, to get this picture that you're in Him, then ask the Lord. Ask the Holy Spirit, our teacher. Ask Him to help you build that picture. You have a great imagination. But the Lord will build the picture ID of who you are in your minds and in your hearts. And you're going to begin to learn to live through Him that way. But ask the Lord to build that picture according to the Word. You'll get it through the Gospels. That's where you'll get the greatest idea, the greatest picture of your life in Him. Lastly, and this is going to be a little bit challenging to start this way, everything that comes, you have to choose to begin to see your life through this picture. That has to be a conscious choice. Everything. When you leave today, if you forget it all, I encourage you to go back and listen to this, or go back and listen to the other messages on this. This is so important, because our lives are not what they were. They are what He has already given us. We have to redefine us. This is how we redefine us. And it's an ongoing, I don't want to say project. For some of us it is. But it's an ongoing purpose that we have in our lives if we want to live in that higher identity. Okay? Would you stand with me, please? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, more and more, I think it's important that we say who we are, that we say what God says, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Luke 6:45. This is not a magic formula. This is a reality. And so, when we say something about our life that agrees with the truth, that agrees with the reality of the Word of God, what we're doing is reinforcing to our heart, we're redefining to our heart and to our minds the truth. And it begins to change us. It is important that we speak to our lives and redefine our lives through our mouths. Okay? So would you say this with me? I am complete in Jesus. I am incomplete without Him. I am redefining my life to who I am in Him. My life, the picture ID is in Him. That's who I am. That's how I act. That's how I act. That's how I believe. That's how I move. That's how I live. That's me. I am not the bad fruit that pops up. I'm destroying that every time. And I choose to live in the higher life, a higher identity in Him. A true picture of who I am in Jesus is forming in my heart and my mind right now. That's who I am. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Prayer team, come on up. If you need this understanding of what it is to be born again, it's real easy. Come on up and talk to one of our prayer team. They're going to help you out with this. If you need to understand the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the power of God that comes with this new identity, come on up. They'll help you receive it. If there's anything else you need prayer for, you want to see a breakthrough in your life, you want to see the supernatural take place, you want to see some change, they're full of faith. They understand the grace of God. They'll help you get there today in Jesus' name. Be blessed, everybody. Have an awesome week. Live in your new identity. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Thanks, everybody. Thank you. Praise God. Praise God.